Welcome, Dumbheads, to MDC, the Mega Dumbcast. In this series, we are examining every single goddamn page of Palladium's Beyond the Supernatural RPG to determine what is the dumbest thing on that page. Every episode is one page, every episode is short. If you'd like to play along at home, this is Beyond the Supernatural 2nd Edition, the first printing from January 2005. Today we're discussing page 131 of Beyond the Supernatural. Today, it's a special day for any Palladium book when we encounter the glossary. You know, if you're a fan of other books, if you're one of the privileged listeners in my audience who have time to read other books other than Palladium rule books, which, you know, great for you. Like, wonderful. I'm happy. Fuck you in a nice way. But if you're a fan of other books, you'll be more familiar with the conventional model of glossary, where in a book that explains events and ideas, a glossary will define the words used to do that explanation or narrative or what have you. In a Palladium book, on the other hand, what you have is 90% bullshit that goes nowhere. And then in the glossary, where the author is more or less forced by the format to focus for 5 goddamn minutes on one topic at a time, that's where everything is actually explained. Like, I think in Ninjas and Super Spies, a big chunk of the combat system is in the glossary. So it's always a feature to look forward to in Palladium books. Now, some of the things in the glossary are conventional glossary entries like you'd find in any normal book. For example, on this page, we find a glossary entry for percentile dice to explain to you, these are 10-sided dice, you roll them in a pair, and you generate a number between 1 and 100. Just simple, we're going to say percentile dice again and again, so here's what we're talking about. This is a word or a phrase that you may not know, so here it is in the glossary. Other entries in this glossary are words and concepts that the reader will presumably already be familiar with. For example, death. The death entry is 3 paragraphs long and doesn't so much describe the concept of death as it lays out a sort of GMing philosophy about when death is appropriate and how players should cope with it. Death is probably the most interesting entry in this glossary, at least on this page, because it's a perennial topic in gaming, and it's one of the delightful little surprises that we have sometimes in Palladium games to find the author very directly taking on the practical problem of using death in interactive storytelling, just kind of out of nowhere, like in the middle of explaining what are dice, what do I mean when I say natural 20, just to take a minute to meditate upon this practical gaming problem. And it actually gives some insight into how this game is meant to be played, which is something we're sort of tracking in this section. Starting a couple of days ago, when we started to get our, like, what is role-playing, how do you play a role-playing game, et cetera, kind of stuff. It says here, quote, just as in real life, these fictional characters can die. The death of a hero in role-playing games, much like comic books and ongoing television shows, is usually a fairly uncommon event. And when it happens, it is usually pretty dramatic. Hopefully a noble or heroic sacrifice. The amount of death in a campaign usually depends on the individual game master, his players, and the world setting. In Beyond the Supernatural 2, the world of the paranormal and supernatural can be incredibly dangerous and violent, so death may be commonplace, unless the player characters use their heads, work as a team, watch each other's backs, and don't take silly risks. Already in that first paragraph, there's a lot packed in. First of all, once again, the character focus of Palladium games comes through here. For all that Palladium sometimes indulges in this, like, old-school fetish of however the dice fall, we must abide by the results no matter how much it ruins everyone's night, nonetheless, there is a clear sense that characters are not disposable. The game is about characters, they are the stars of a story, and as such, they shouldn't just randomly die off, as would sometimes happen in, like, very old-school D&D campaigns. However, there's a little caveat there. Like, lest you think that the author has gone soft, lest you think that the author has turned in their old-school gaming card for an indie gamer, non-hierarchical participation medal of everybody being equally cool, the author has a caveat. Despite the desire for death to be meaningful and characters not to be disposable, death may become commonplace if players don't, essentially, play well enough. So the onus is really shifted off the GM here onto the players. Like, it's the GM's job to make this a world of horror. And as a result, the onus is on the players to survive it. Like, I'm trying to tell a serialized story of moody horror and drama, and if you fuck it up by dying in the middle of it, I'm going to be very mad at you, is the sentiment here. Which I'm not even saying is bad. You know, just as I'm not trying to demean the non-hierarchical participation medal of everybody being equally cool, I'm into that gaming ethos, I'm also not trying to besmirch the idea that you would sit down to the table with the expectation, like, you motherfuckers asked for a horror game, so guess what? I'm just going to chase you with an axe. You don't know when it's coming, but you know it's coming. And when it does, it is your responsibility to dodge that motherfucking axe. And if you can't do it, then you can't do it. That's horror. Even if that means this turns into a massacre and not an adventure, I made good on my part of the bargain. As long as that expectation is understood, then I think it's a reasonable way to play. But it does need to be managed, and this glossary entry goes on to describe how to manage it. Quote, players should take a character's death calmly. Remember, it's only a game. When one character dies, roll up a new one and try to get back into the game with the orientation and personality of the new character. It may be handy to have a backup character already rolled up and waiting in the wings, in case the current character should die. This, I can tell you from experience, is an idea that will not work for some players. For me, for example, this will not work. If I attempt this, I will fall to Taco Night Syndrome, which is a thing that happens to me from time to time. Listeners may or may not know that I'm responsible for, like, the menu and the shopping and the cooking in my household, and I also primarily take care of my baby daughter. And sometimes, the nature of babies is that they don't give you the opportunity to cook the thing you planned on cooking for dinner. So, the solution that I attempted is to have an emergency taco night ready to go at any time, quick to put together, easy to put together, and once you start thinking about tacos, you want to eat them. You don't want to, you know, order pizza or whatever so that you waste your money. Anyway, that's the theory. The reality is, when you got taco ingredients just chilling out in your house, staring you in the face every time you get into the pantry, calling out to you as you're preparing to steam your broccoli or whatever, you're going to eat those fucking tacos. Once you buy all the shit to make tacos, taco night is coming soon. And the same thing is true in my experience with player characters. If you make a character and you do your whole character sheet, which, you know, given this is Palladium, is going to take you, you know, 2 to 3 8-hour workdays to put together your character and fill in all the little percentiles, and you create a character you're happy with and like, and you kind of understand their personality, you're ready to play them at a moment's notice. In my experience, it's not going to be too many more sessions before your old character charges into gunfire or takes a new job in another city and moves away, and you start playing that new character. Maybe you're a more disciplined person than I am, but I have never succeeded in delaying either literal or figurative taco night for very long. But this does go to the theory about death in Palladium games, which is because we care about the story and we care about the characters, they're not meant to be disposable, but we also care about the integrity of the world and abiding by the roll of the dice. We're not going to fudge anything to keep your character alive. As much as that might be more convenient for, like, the play experience and the narrative, we also don't want you to just, you know, roll 3d6 down the line and bring in your new dwarven fighter to replace your old dwarven fighter. That's not what this game is about. So the solution that's kind of a compromise among all the things we want here is to create a fully realized and compelling character and then just kind of keep them on a simmer in your binder with your existing player character so that if there's an unexpected death, we don't have to, like, overrule it, you know, fudge the dice, whatever. Instead, let the old character die and then the new character swaps right in with backstory and personality and connections to the story all ready to go, so we can maintain the drama of the campaign and also the simulation aspect of the campaign. So we've established that death is a possibility. What are the criteria? Like, when should characters die? That's covered in the third paragraph, and I find it very telling about the underlying vision of the GM's role in Palladium games. Quote, characters should not be a dime a dozen or killed on a whim or as a result of personal conflict between other players or the game master. A good GM should also try to give the player characters options, i.e. a chance to surrender, a desperate chance at escape, etc. Then again, sometimes there's no way around it. I've killed plenty of characters as a GM. Some of the deaths were spectacular and worthy of a heroic poem, and other times the character just played dumb or took a dangerous risk and paid the ultimate price. It happens, and often adds to the drama of the story. This makes it pretty clear. Best case scenario is a heroic or self-sacrificing death. It's part of the story. The character dies of their own volition, more or less, to achieve something to be a hero. Palladium values this very highly, as we will see on the XP chart when we get there. You get a lot of XP for heroic self-sacrifice. This is, of course, a well-known pedagogical technique in heroic fiction, where schools like Xavier's School for Gifted Youngsters or Hogwarts tend to turn out winnowed but potent graduating classes. Failing that best-case scenario of heroic self-sacrifice, though, the other situation where it's acceptable for characters to die is if the player's fucked up. That's what's interesting here. It's not like characters only die when it makes the story better, which is more of a modern kind of indie game thing to do. It's either when it makes the story better or when the player deserves it for something that they did. This is why it says, you know, you don't want to do it on a whim, like the GM just decided to off a player character to show that they're serious. you don't want to do it because you don't like them personally or the other players have it out for them. Those things are off limits. But if you provide an option, you know, do you want to negotiate with the Pit Fiend or do you really want to try to fist fight it? You can feel your brain exploding. Would you like to proceed? That kind of GM move. If you do something like that and then the player persists, then it's on them and feel free to kill them. At that point, they've made a bad decision that justifies killing them off. So there is like a game aspect here. There is a question that enters into it of, did the player play well? So it's like a weird middle ground between more modern narrative stuff where it's all about whether a death would serve the story and like a board game where, you know, people can lose or, you know, your units can be destroyed regardless of how well you played just because of how things turned out. We're in this weird gray zone with role-playing as envisioned here, where part of the GM's job is to sort of judge whether the player made a mistake and didn't play well, because if, quote, the character just played dumb or took a dangerous risk, then it's within the GM's discretion to say, if you're going to play like a dummy, I am not bound to protect you. Prepare for axe murder. Anyway, I found all of that interesting, but it doesn't really have anything to do with the dumbest thing on this page, which I've delayed here to the end, mostly because it's just very simple. There's not really an episode here, but it's a classic case of pure bare bones Palladium incompetence. One of the terms described on this page is Occupational Character Class, OCC. Quote, OCC is the term most Palladium games use to describe the character's stats, education, and occupation. It includes specific skills, skill selections, goals, orientation, equipment, and salary. Now, there are no OCCs in Beyond the Supernatural. So what we have defined here in the glossary for Beyond the Supernatural is a term that is not used in Beyond the Supernatural. So already this use of space to define it is dubious. The entry goes on to describe, quote, an RCC, racial character class, is basically the same thing, but refers to monsters and aliens with abilities that come to all creatures of that specific race. Once again, there are no RCCs in Beyond the Supernatural. Also, RCC is defined in the OCC entry, even though an OCC and an RCC are totally different things. So if you did want to know what an RCC was for some reason, maybe a friend told you that those exist, because you certainly wouldn't learn from this book anywhere but here in the glossary, you wouldn't be able to look it up because it doesn't have its own entry. It's defined under OCC, which is a thing that it is not. This entry goes on to describe, quote, PCC stands for Psychic Character Class and is a term reserved for, quote, psychic characters in Beyond the Supernatural 2, Nightbane, and Mystic China. PCCs are in this game, to the glossary's credit, third time's the charm. You just described three different terms and you finally hit on one that's used in this book. However, PCC isn't reserved for psychic characters. Notably, the ordinary person PCC in this game is a psychic character class with no psychic powers, unless you play a child, which is strictly optional. It's mainly a GM option, as we've discussed. The ordinary person PCC is pretty much defined by not being a psychic, so it's weird that it's a PCC, but it is. So this, the only term described in this glossary entry that is actually in this book anywhere but the glossary, has an incorrect definition. What is the very next thing on this page? The very next entry in the glossary, you may ask? Why, it's PCC again. Quote, PCC, the term used to denote a psychic character class and the type of psychic character you will be playing. Once again, PCC, not in fact reserved for psychic characters. So I guess the dumbest thing on this page is that the term PCC, which is a central term you need to know in this game, is defined on this page not just twice, but twice in a row. Like, the second definition immediately follows the first definition on the page, and both are incorrect. In close second place would be wasting time defining OCC and RCC, terms that wouldn't be in this game at all if they were not here in the glossary. Anyway, a lot of other glossary stuff is going to come up in the course of regular podcast service and the rest of this book, so that's about all I've got for now. The glossary does continue to the next page, but we are not going to be talking about it. Join me next time instead for two much clearer and more instructive data points about how to play Beyond the Supernatural on MDC, the Mega Dumbcast. This has been Mega Dumbcast. New episodes drop every day except for Sundays, when all the previous week's episodes drop in one big megasode on the top secret Patreon-only RSS feed. If you'd like to get access to that RSS feed and support the show, go to patreon.com/megadumbcast. Contact or check out the show wherever you want. I am Mega Dumbcast on Twitter, Instagram, Gmail, Podbean, your favorite podcatcher, etc., etc. MDC, Palladium Books, Beyond the Supernatural, and all associated trademarks are property of Kevin Zambita. This season's theme song is Horizon Ending by Soft and Furious, whose work you can find at loyaltyfreakmusic.com.
Dumbheads, I will catch you next time.